Good morning and happy new year. Wow, it's 2022. Many of us are probably wondering, based upon the last couple of years, what will this year bring? Well, I can guarantee you it's going to bring some things like chaos, confusion will be there. Unfortunately, there's going to be heartache and there's going to be sorrow and there's going to be shame. And, you know, gosh, this is a dark road we're going down here. But I have two words for all of us to hear, just two, that says, but God. See, God is sovereign. That means that he is the supreme power or the supreme authority over all things. And that's what Proverbs 16 is all about. It's contrasting the heart of men compared to the sovereignty of God, whether the heart of men is one that pursues God or whether the heart of men is one who rebels against God. Proverbs 16 is all about the contrast of either walking in agreement with God and allowing his sovereignty, not resisting his will, but also those who are rebellious, and they think that they can escape the sovereignty of God, but they can't, because if he truly is all supreme, or supreme power and has supreme authority, then whether you believe in him or not, he still has authority over your life. And so how do I know this? Well, Isaiah chapter 45, beginning in verse 18, says this: "For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, he is God." That's an absolute. "He formed the earth and made it. He established it. He did not create it empty. He formed it to be inhabited." So the simple question is the earth inhabited? Yes, it's inhabited by men and all the living things that God created. Living things. Make note of that when you question God's sovereignty of creation. But let's go on. It says, "I am the Lord and there is no other." So if you have bought into the myth that there are multiple gods or that you could become a god or some crazy notion like that, or maybe even there is no god, then it doesn't mean that you escape from the sovereignty of God. Because the truth of the matter is he loves us and he wants us to draw us back to him. Well, I'm going to keep reading here. Verse 19, he said, "I did not speak in error. In a land of darkness, I did not say to the offspring of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right." So first of all, he did not speak in secret. God made himself known when he spoke and he created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. In fact, he reveals his sovereignty through that. Romans chapter 1 tells us all about that. But here, the Lord speaks the truth to Jacob. To those, Jacob is the conniver, the one who's working the deal, right? That's who Jacob is. And so that's what we do. We try to work the deal for our benefit. But God is still sovereign. And the Lord says, "I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right." God speaks truth. He can't speak anything but the truth, and he declares what's right. Well, what is this speech that God uses? Well, Hebrews tells us very clearly that in Hebrews chapter 1, it says, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets." So God spoke through men. Then verse 2, it says, "But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things." Christ is the heir. He's the inheritor, through whom also he created the world. So God, in his majesty and his sovereignty, created the world through Christ. "He is the radiance of the glory of God." Christ is the radiance, or the exact, and it says the exact imprint of his nature. So the express nature of God is revealed in Christ. All of the Godhead is in him, not part. He's not individualized. No, all of it is in him. And then it goes on, it says, "And he," speaking of Jesus, "upholds the universe by the word of his power." So God spoke things into place. I just love the orbits of planets around our sun. And in particular, it's fascinating how important it is that we rotate the speed that we rotate at, the axis that we are at, because if it was anything else, there would be no opportunity for life. But that's not what it is. It's exact because God is sovereign. He's all powerful. And so it says then, after making purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now that doesn't mean that God the Father has a hand like you and I have. No, that's position. So if you use that out of context to say, well, look, God has a hand, you're actually wrong. That's not what it means. It means position. So it just says, after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, his position having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. So Jesus isn't an angel who becomes a god. He isn't a man who becomes a god. No, he's God who became a man to rescue man. Verse 8 says, but of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, the scepter of righteousness and the scepter of the kingdom. So Jesus is forever, right? It says in Hebrews 13:8, it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So what is your testimony? Is your testimony one of what you've done? I think it's fascinating when people say that they want to bear their testimony. And it's like, listen intently to what that is. But then when they're done, gently ask them, which do you think is greater, the testimony of man or the testimony of God? Well, hopefully that's a simple answer, and it's the testimony of God. So what is the testimony of God? 1 John chapter 5, it says, if we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has borne concerning his Son. This is the witness. This is what he's proclaiming. This is God's speech. And he says, whoever believes in the Son of God, the one who is the creator of all the heavens and the earth, the triune God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, whoever believes in him has the testimony in himself. So that's when we receive Christ. You can't just believe in Christ. You must receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. You see, it comes through faith. So it says, whoever believes the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar. If you believe in anything else other than what God says in his word, the Bible, then you've been deceived. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And whoever has the Son has the life. And whoever does not have the Son of God does not have the life. That's pretty clear. That's not left to consider your opinion or my opinion. But it's written, watch this, I love this. It's written, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. I don't hope that someday when I get to heaven that I'm going to make it. No, I make it because Christ is there. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And when I am in Christ because I have received him, then I have eternal life. Well, you know what? We're going to get to Proverbs chapter 16, but we're not going to do it today. Hey, God bless you, and might you understand more clearly the sovereignty of God and the importance of trusting in him over all things in your life. God bless you, and thank you for joining me in year 2022.